My moment of realizing my queerness and my fabulousness was in Sydney in the late 90s. My auntie took me to Oxford Street actually, and she was going to get a haircut, and she goes, "Go and explore Oxford Street." I didn't know what Oxford Street was or what it meant, and I remember walking onto Oxford Street and just seeing the queer community and in posters, on the street, walking, holding hands. It was just so visible, and I just remember in that moment I was like, I had a great sense of community and I had a great sense of being at home. I had not seen anything like that in Darwin. My name's Ben Gratz and I'm a proud Iwadjuh Mulluk Mulluk and Torres Strait Islander queer man. Growing up in Darwin, I mean, I loved it. I love that the weather controls how you live your life, so no synthetics or anything like that. I just always felt like I was surrounded by family and a great sense of safety, I suppose. I always felt a little bit different though, like I was a bit out of place. I was always into the arts, and Darwin is a very sporting town, a hetero town. I always needed something different, so it was like a little bit strange, but I never knew what that was, obviously. The only things that I knew about being gay or queer were really derogatory, particularly at that time the AIDS epidemic was happening and we had like the Grim Reaper ads. There was just a lot of really challenging narrative around what it was to be gay. And so I think that also made me feel really more introverted and I suppose more trying to hide who I was. It took a long time, even while I was in Sydney, to really get comfortable with who I was and coming out, really. I used to love going and watching the drag queens. There was a Māori drag queen called Tess Tickle. The thing about her was that it was one of the only drag queens of colour that was working on Oxford Street. And so automatically I was like, oh, she's just like me. But also she was so glamorous and so gentle and so polite, which was really a juxtaposition to the drag queens of that time that were really kind of a queenie and bitchy and would kind of make fun of you, whereas she was the total opposite. So I really was inspired by her. When I was at acting school in Sydney, I always loved character work and I always loved becoming someone else. Going to all the gay bars in Sydney, it kind of just all combined.
And out of the glitter and shine of Sydney, a new star was born, Miss Alanius.
I say to people, we're clowns, we're modern court jesters, really, and we're there to be able to bring joy and happiness and entertainment to people. Every time I do drag, it's about honouring all of the women and the matriarchs in my family, so it's always really respectful. Being queer, but also being First Nations, that journey is ongoing. I don't think that will ever end. I think we're always learning, particularly First Nations mob. You know, there's a lot of history in this country. There's a lot of erasure, particularly around queer First Nations people, and we're still understanding who we are.
So now, donning spectacles and a big purple wig.
Hello, world. My name is Misinformation, Australia's number one drag journalist.
A brand new queen is on a journey of discovery.
There's a lot of misinformation out there. There's a lot of fake news these days. So I'm going to be bringing you the hard-hitting facts about The Voice. There are multiple different perspectives.
Misinformation is out there just kind of searching for the truth and really bringing the facts to community, because I think at the moment there's a lot of conversations. There's a lot of yes and no.
I am neither on the yes side. I am neither on the no side, but I'm somewhere in between, like a beautiful rose between two thorns.
With The Voice coming up, I think it's going to be a very challenging time, but as a First Nations person, I know that we have been surviving and thriving for over 80,000 years. So the Commonwealth tried to erase us, but that didn't work, and we're still here. So we'll always be here, and we'll always be a part of DNA of this country.
The quiet kid from Darwin has well and truly shaken off the shackles of shame and shyness.
When I was growing up, I knew that there was something bigger and better. And, you know, thank God, I'm very happy that I've had the journey that I've had and backed myself. I just love being queer. I love it.
Earlier this year, Ben was creative director of World Pride. And in the middle of all that, he tied the knot with his partner Dion. But one wedding wasn't quite enough glamour.
We love to party, so why not? Celebrating with three festivals of love this year, one in Darwin, one in Sydney, and one in the UK and Wales, where my husband's from. My husband said, "What if you imagined that you would be doing a festival of love in Darwin with all of your family and all of your friends and married?" And I said, "No, because back then, this would have not been possible. Well, one, it wouldn't have been legal. And I had never seen that. To be here in Darwin and with my husband and celebrating with my family and friends, and to have my mum, my dad there, my sisters and brothers and all that, it was an incredible moment for my family to see me married, but also with all of my friends. It was a very special moment."